Welcome to the Watoto Church podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Happy Father's Day to God our Father. Come on. Happy Father's Day, our Heavenly Father. You've been so good to us. Now, Watoto Church didn't just happen. God called a couple who came to Uganda in very rough days, but they had a call from God. And they had faith that God will build something significant through His work and His church that will touch the city and the nation. So we are blessed as Watoto Church to have a good Father. Would you welcome with me to the platform to say hi to us, our founder, Pastor Gary Mark Skinner. Yeah! Come on, Watoto Church! Give him a big, big welcome.
Well, happy Father's Day to each and every father that's here, and welcome to church for everybody else. I got to tell you, Jules, there's only one thing better than being a father.
What's that?
Yes.
Being a husband. Being a child of God.
Being a grandfather. It is. It's awesome. We actually go visit our grandchildren and our children as well. It's great to be here. You know, many times people ask me, Gary, you know, God has blessed you. You've been, by the grace of God, built a great church and great childcare organization. What's the secret? What's the secret? And I tell them there are three things. There may be more, but one, we passionately love Jesus before anything else. He is number one. Number two, it's not just about building a church, but it's about building a community. We care for people wherever they are. Not just our church people, but people who don't know yet that they need to belong to Jesus. So we care for community. We care for the poor. We care for the hurting. I believe that God kisses that kind of work. But the third thing is that we love Israel.
Yeah, that's right.
That we love Israel.
Yep.
Right. And so Julius and Vernita and Eddie, Pastor Eddie and Atinda and Martha and Marilyn and I have just returned last night from Israel. We spent a week in Israel and we were there for a conference to bless the people of Israel. Because you know, in the last days, the Bible says God will gather the Jewish people from the four corners of the earth back to their land. The greatest miracle of this last century is the return of the Jewish people to Israel, the rebirth in 1948 of the nation of Israel, so that God could get ready for the end time scenario when He takes the church away in the rapture. There'll be a 7-year period of great trouble for Israel, but the Israeli people who will have the world come against them will be saved miraculously. You know, this is in your Bible. Go read it. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. And we need to preach this again sometime. And I'm really inspired and challenged. So we as a church, we give to bless Israel. And the pastor of the church there, it's the largest church in evangelical church in Israel, he said, the church that's given the largest offering ever to help us in Israel is from Africa. From Watoto in Uganda. Wow. And I had a chance to get up and say, do you know what? Africa has been known in the past as a big black hole that sucks down lots of money and spits back problems. But that is about to change because there is a new generation of young Africans who are going to learn to be givers instead of takers. And that's why we're here, to build a new generation of young leaders. That's why we're doing university courses from one of the best universities in the United States of America. We are embarking on building a $26 million new complex in this entire area here, which is going to be designed specifically to reach young adults and young people and ensure that they have opportunities to be educated and become citizens in this land who will be leaders. That's why we're working the other thing, no, not just One Hope, but the other one, Train, yes, to be able to take leadership into core places in our community. Why? It's Africa's turn to rise and to shine and to become world leaders. And I'm very, 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 very happy to introduce you to one of those leaders today, our speaker for today, your pastor, Pastor Julius Ratlanyo.
Thank you very much, Gary. That's awesome. Actually, we're going to do things a little bit different today. I'm going to invite Josh. Josh, come. Grab a mic and come to the stage. And he's going to come up. We're going to talk about fatherhood.
You know, children make their parents. This was a good, growing, learning kid, so it was easy to mentor him. So he did the hard work, and I took the good name. Thanks. Thanks, Jules. And it's so beautiful that right now, as a father, I've seen my son grow, and now I look up to him, not just physically, but for leadership. I'm proud to be counted among the people that made sure that Jules is blossoming. And I'm proud of you, Jules. I'm glad God gave me an opportunity to invest something little that is shining through you.
Thank you. And every young man's dream, usually after university, is to get work. But every young man wants to drive their own car at one point. Any young man in the house? You want to drive a car. Guess what? One time, Josh found me walking, going to grab a taxi. And he said, no, we're on the same team, and I have a car that I'm not using very much. I remember that Suzuki Escudo short chassis. And this is what Josh said to me. Before God gives you your own, let me bless you with one to be using. And he came and he gave me the keys to his car and said, use this one. This is an example of a real dad. And I want to thank you, Josh, for being that. So today, as we celebrate Father's Day, we want to have a conversation with Josh here, who oversees, by the way, Josh and Christine oversee our family ministry. And they grew north to a point where they've been released to bless the entire Watoto family in the area of family. And so, but today we want to zoom into the Father's Day message. Yeah. Fathers matter.
They matter indeed.
They matter. Tell us a little bit. Why do fathers matter, Josh?
Well, God made sure that in every family there has to be leadership. And God chose fathers to be the leaders. Mm-hmm. And as leaders, they guide and make sure things are happening in the family. Right. And it's such a beautiful opportunity. If a family is going to be strong and healthy, it's going to be great. Yeah. If fathers are lacking in a family, in fact, we'll be impacted. And all of us are impacted either by the presence of our fathers, or absence, or negligence. I would say, personally, my father was missing and absent, and you can see the effect in my life. And I'm working so hard to cover that gap. When fathers are present, the kids are confident, the kids are strong, they are successful in life. But if the fathers are absent, the kids struggle with the issues of identity, kids suffer in school. And in fact, we are told from research that sometimes the ladies end up doing messy stuff. Most of the people in prison today are because their fathers didn't lead or guide them, or they were missing. So there are challenges. But also I would say that fathers are key, because when fathers mess up, the ladies rise up. And today we are seeing a movement of ladies that are saying, forget the fathers. They're non-performers. We don't need them. We can do without them. Just give us the sperm and we will fly with the rest. And so we have people that say we don't need fathers, we don't want the authority, we will live on our own. And yet we notice that God has set his blessing on the family to come through the father. That's his divine order of authority. So we need to understand that. If fathers function the way they should, this whole world is going to be great and blossoming.
Fathers matter, my friends. I want to read an article that is in one of our dailies today. And it's about fathers. I think it's a very nice article. Almost they stole our notes for this weekend.
Well, many of them come to this church.
Oh, right.
And so they preempt.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. I'm just going to read it. I think it brings a great balanced view on Father's Day. And this is what this author says in the Daily. He says, today is Father's Day. It's an opportunity to celebrate the place of fathers in the community. Many readers have written thanking their fathers for being there for them. Many attribute their success to dedicated fathers and those who stepped in where biological fathers were absent. Indeed, the role of fathers in building successful families cannot be overstated, just like you were saying. The family is the basic foundation of society. Therefore, good fathers contribute a lot to creating stable societies. Being a father means nurturing the next generation. Children need guidance and discipline. We're going to talk about that. They need care and they need protection of fathers. Unfortunately, the number of female-headed families has been on the increase over the decades. Sometimes because of widowhood, but mostly because of absentee fathers. Some fathers may not be absent, but are not involved in the child's upbringing. Fathers who abdicate their roles bring about long-term effects in the lives of their children. That's what you are talking about. Our society is mostly patrilineal, and the fathers are the main link to one's heritage and cultural identity. Without fathers, most children feel lost. Research has linked absentee fathers to such problems as poverty and crime. Anger and behavior problems are more likely, and such children become adults who fail to form or maintain appropriate relationships. On the other hand, the presence of fathers throughout the child's life leads to positive attributes. Good fathers are particularly positive influences on daughters, enabling them to complete school and succeed in life. For sons, sons build their confidence, knowledge, and life skills better from involved fathers. Fortunately, today, more fathers know the importance of their role. They attend parenting seminars, come to church and hear a message on parenting like today and fatherhood today. They read books to improve skills that they did not learn from their own fathers. Many are demolishing the stereotypes about what fathers could not do in relation to raising their children. This is a positive step and is one reason to celebrate fathers.
Yep.
I think that's a positive positive outlook on fatherhood.
Yeah, that's great. And today we know what terrible things have happened, but also there are great things that have happened. We've had great fathers. I was at a birthday party yesterday. Right. This gentleman has turned 70, and every testimony concerning his humility, his integrity, his kindness, you could feel it was not a created story. Right. It was a lived out story. And I was proud to be associated with him. Here is our appeal today as we go through this. We don't have to continue with the same tide where fathers are missing in action, where fathers don't know what to do, or whether the children would want to kill their parents. Because I'm told when it's Mother's Day, letters from prison fly. When it is Father's Day, nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens. But we don't want to continue this cycle where fathers are ignored, where fathers are fought even by the mothers of the children. No, we want to come to the place where we say we know what God wants. And so that's why I think we want to look at Scripture and see how do we raise a standard, how to become the next generation of fathers that will bring glory to God.
That's right. And today we have two key ideas that we want to leave with you as we talk about fathers matter and the whole idea of fatherhood. And the first idea is this, that fatherhood is actually a gift from God.
Yep.
So talk to us about fatherhood being a gift from God.
I think when we look at the greatest father I know we used to sing, Father Abraham had many sons and so are we. That's true. So when we look at Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, and I believe it's coming up right now, this God chose Abraham.
Right.
It had been Abraham's desire. God had blessed him with all the wealth that he needed. But one cry that Abraham had in his heart is, Lord, give me a chance to be a father. I'm an administrator, I'm a general, not just in terms of having children, but he had won wars and rest, but one thing was lacking. And God, out of his grace, gave him a gift of a child, Isaac. And God states the reason he gave him this gift. He says, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised. Abraham couldn't make himself a father, but God gave him this precious gift.
That's right.
And none of us, in a right sense, can make ourselves fathers, but it's a precious gift that God puts in our hands. And we notice that this gift is not just for the man or the father alone, it's generational.
Right.
We see that God intended for Abraham to influence generations.
Right.
What an opportunity. What a blessing that today we talk about Abraham. And we from this gift, the children have their identity. The family is safe and secure. I'm sure issues were settled in Sarah's life because Abraham became a father. And so those are the basics that we enjoy. It's a gift that God blesses in our hands, and is such a powerful gift.
It is. And so if you are a dad here, you better begin to see that as a great gift, a great privilege, a great honor that God places on us to actually raise and impact the next generation. Gives it to us as fathers. Great privilege. You know, fatherhood is more than having babies.
Yes. You read that already.
That's part of it. That's the process of being a father. But it's more than that. And the reason I say it's more than having babies, dogs have babies. They have babies. We call them puppies. Even bulls and cows and chickens, and they will have babies. But you never call that dog a father. That title is reserved for human beings. Because it's a unique gift from God. We gotta be better than animals. Because animals, we just have the babies and they don't care. If pigs even eat their babies. But when it comes to us who are in the image of God, God designs the male and says, you're going to be a father, and he gives us the opportunity to participate in his likeness of being a father.
Yeah.
And so the best place to learn about fatherhood is from God the Father himself.
Right.
It's from God the Father himself. And so it's a gift, but it is also, because it's a unique gift, it calls for responsibility. Everybody say responsibility.
Responsibility.
So the first thought is, you better appreciate this whole gift. If you're a young man planning to get married, hey, recognize that it's not just about the marriage. When God gives you children of your own or gives you an opportunity to influence children that he brings into your circle, that's a huge gift. It's a huge opportunity. See it that way. Don't look at your children that God gives to you as a burden. In fact, the Bible says children are a gift from God. Now, I'll read that scripture.
Psalm,
I know it's there. Psalm 127, verses 3 to 5. It says, this is to all parents, fathers, especially today as we celebrate you. Here's the perspective you need to see as a gift of being a father, that the children that God gives you are a gift. Children are a gift from the Lord.
Yeah.
They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. In other words, that man can be confident that nothing can stop him because he has a generation that's coming after him.
Yeah.
He's going to influence. And they're like arrows in the hands of a mighty warrior. And this is the illustration I have. My children, your children, arrows will reach places that you, who's holding the bow and arrow, cannot reach. And so, children being like arrows is you launch them out to go to places that God has designed them to go to.
Yeah.
So when we look at our children, it's such an opportunity. We have them now, but there is a point where you do everything, and that's the responsibility. Yeah. Do everything you can right now, and at one point, you will launch them and watch them fly and begin to change the world.
Yeah.
But we gotta be responsible for what we do today.
That's
and we want to talk about, yes, it's a gift, but what is that call to responsibility when it comes to fatherhood?
Yeah, the responsibility is beautiful. And I pick from what Paul teaches the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. It says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children."
Right.
Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and his glory. So as a father, I'm representing God. He has a design and a plan for the children that he puts in our hands.
Yep.
And my role as a father, my responsibility to see that that gift is nurtured and that this child shines for the glory of God. So
right.
I would summarize the responsibility maybe in three areas.
Right.
To protect, to provide, and to be a priest. And maybe we can deal with that a little. Fathers, we are here to protect the family.
Right.
Not just physically, but also emotionally and spiritually. It's the fathers whose responsibility is make sure there's security. And I'll use a simple example. I know I must make sure the padlocks are working
right
at home. And they are locked. That's regular physical. But the reason God gave me more muscle than my wife is not simply to pose and do gymming. No. Gym is good, but it's to make sure that she is protected as my wife and my children are protected. So, and I encourage people, don't let bullies bully your children.
Right.
Don't let head teachers or teachers bully your children. Be there for them. If the head teacher is messing with them, go look him in the face and tell him, you know, I have a responsibility to protect this child.
Right.
Even if your neighbor is harassing your children, make sure they do not harass them.
Wow.
Why? It's your responsibility to protect them. Yes, protect the family, protect their mother. If your father is harassing your wife, tell them, you know what? My wife is my wife, not a child in your home. Make sure they are protected. Make sure there's safety in the home. And I know sometimes there will be false prophets that come and all these different kinds. As a father, protect your children. And nowadays, you need to protect them especially from the spiritist teaching
right
in cartoons. So there has to be parental control. And that's, to me, I think that's important for us to protect our families. Protect them financially.
Right.
If your life is gone, make sure you've left a will to protect them from all other graces that would come. That's the role of a father.
You know, when you talk about protection, I'm using our muscles to protect the family. One time I had an incident where it was tested.
Mm-hmm.
A rat entered the house. And so everybody's eyes were on Daddy.
Yeah, Superman.
Daddy can take out this rat, of course. Any daddies here who are not afraid of rats? I bless God for rat poison and rat gloom. Because it somehow solves the problem for our muscles. My wife says, we must deal with this rat tonight. My idea was, let's go sleep, it will get out. Said, no, we have to deal with the rat. And so we got our weapons of mass destruction. And we started searching for the rat. And my prayer was, it didn't jump on me because I'd be embarrassed. I'm supposed to protect my... At least rats, there's some who run away from cockroaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we started to search and hit, and you hit a little bit, come back by it. But I'm brave. I'm a strong man. This rat cannot defeat me. And so we keep hitting. And my wife is on a corner waiting. Waiting as well. And so my fatherhood was tested. But this is this. You know, fathers, we are amazing. We are wise. I chased the rat towards my wife. And then she hit it and jumped. And I said, man, you hit it. And it's over there. I said, this is cool. And I became a champion, much as she's the one who. Fatherhood is not simple.
It's not simple. But you see, talking about your wife, you know, sometimes fathers have been very disappointing. And I want to encourage, ladies, you can cover your husband. So when he chases the cockroaches to you, when he chases the rats to you, kill them and tell your children, see how daddy gets the job done.
All right. But that, we're going to talk about the other idea of providing. Here's what I want to challenge fathers when it comes to protecting your children. Your children are not perfect, just like you are not perfect.
Yeah.
Man, it is very sad, and I used to see this in school, where the father comes, and instead of protecting the child in their imperfection and trying to come alongside them as they grow. Now, some kids are naughty, and we'll talk about the discipline part. But it was so bad when a father would side with the teachers and they come against the child.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, all the protection this child would have ever needed is gone.
Yeah.
And they would speak things against the child and they would say all kinds of things. And the child would be, the headmaster would have a chance to chastise the child and the head, then the teacher, and then the dad does it and makes a shame of their child. That has impact. Now, there has to be discipline, but it is built from a place of love.
Yeah.
Your child needs to know that you're there for them, not just when they've done well, but even when they're not doing well.
Yeah.
They gotta know you are there. We gotta protect them emotionally because they are not perfect and they are growing.
Yeah.
So that father's one call to responsibility is we gotta protect our kids. We gotta do that. So let's talk about the other one of providing.
Yeah, and dads provide more than food and school fees.
Mm.
Because naturally we know there must be food, clothing, and shelter. And it's important that as fathers, that is taken care of. But we're saying we want to provide for the kids to grow in every area of their lives. So we care for them. We make sure they learn to be responsible. We make sure every need that they have is met.
Yep.
And so we are not just growing them in terms of the body, but emotionally. Are they learning to respond? Are they learning to be kind? Are they learning to be gracious? So we must provide in everywhere. I think that's the work of the fathers.
That's right. And that's creating an environment for the children to grow. The other thing is we need to provide, for lack of better words, the physical, but there's the encouragement. Fathers, we need to be the source of encouragement for our families, for our kids. Boy, we live in a world where there's so much going on, social media bullying and things that are spoken to our kids. And sometimes they live in a very negative world like we do.
Yeah.
And children are very impressionable. Whatever they are told, they tend to believe. Now, as a father, your words are very powerful. So one thing we need to do is to use our tongue as fathers to make sure we are a source of encouragement and wisdom to our children.
Yeah.
Make sure we talk to them. When you see them discouraged, come alongside them. Give them a pat on their shoulder. Say, you can make it. I remember when I was watching my little kids and at school days, when they have these big days, sports days and all of this, my boy was in the sack race.
Yeah.
And he was going strong, and then he tumbled over and fell and rolled. And he started to cry. Now, there were going to be two possible, maybe three possible reactions. One is to just stand by and watch, see what he's going to do. And he was crying. That was one thing I would have done. Secondly, I could have reacted and said, "You damn little boy, you're bringing embarrassment to me because you have not won the race." I could have done that. But the other one was right in the place of his failure. I ran and I came to him. I didn't care what others thought. I said, "Boy, you can make it even if you're crying. Get into the sack and we will go together to the finish line." And I just came alongside him and encouraged him. And I had to keep speaking to him that he's amazing. Because at that point, he may think he will never be good. Because he lost in a race. And he had been looking forward to it. Fathers, our words are very important. Let's make sure what flows out of our mouths provides encouragement for our kids. The moment we use our mouths only for artillery and rebuke, where is this? Where is that? This is what could happen, yeah. Josh. And I've heard that this happens in some people's lives. Where when daddy shows up at home, okay, the moment they hear a knock at the gate or the car hooting,
yeah,
everything changes. Not for good, but for bad. Everything. I mean, when dad gets in,
the dogs go quiet.
The dogs are quiet. The cat runs to its place. The children, because even the animals know someone has arrived. Even the mosquitoes come today and start moving around. Because the atmosphere coming from dad is a very negative one. Listen, dad, we gotta be the ones who create a positive environment in our homes. And we can do that through the help of God our Father. When we come to God's house, yeah, you never feel negativity. Yeah. He's inviting. Yeah. He wants us to be together. He wants us to draw close to him as we worship him. And he's such a good father. Yeah. And the best example for what God would look like to your children is you, the dad. And that takes us to the third point of the priestly role.
Yeah. I was just thinking, we provide a role model.
Yeah.
That's good. And I know you took time to choose the names of your children.
Definitely.
Not continuing the culture where it just says life was bad. If your wife had labor for 10 days, you call them 10 days labor. No.
Right.
I think we provide them with a good name. And if we missed it,
yep,
then we certainly know, you are my champion. You are my hero. You are my World Cup trophy. Yep. I mean, you make life different. So that's why I thought we need to share that. But yes. Then ultimately, you remember when God called Abraham, he said that God asked him to lead and guide his family in the ways of the Lord so that they would remember that God is God. And I see that as a priestly role. And fathers, it's our role to set the atmosphere for God to work in the families. And I know sometimes fathers just drop their children in the best schools and pick them up at the end of the term. Right. But also sometimes they just drop them at church or give them transport to go to church. And one of the struggles in homes is fathers don't seem to pray because they want to watch the news, catch up on which person is to be arrested. I mean, they know every other thing apart from knowing God. Right. But as a priest in a home, God, in fact, is our Father. If we want our children to look to us as fathers, we need to show them the great Father above. Right. We bow down before him. We listen to him and follow his instruction. And then we are able to do that. We need to show the children the true God. There are many things that pose as God, drugs and the rest. But we want to show them that we worship a living God. So we encourage them in God's word. We share God's word with them. But also, Proverbs 22, verse 6 says, bring up a child by teaching him the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn away from it.
That's right.
So that involves disciplining our children. And discipline is not just about using a cane, shouting at them and kicking them. No, discipline is training them so they will be successful in life. We teach them responsibility.
That's right.
We teach them what means to be a man, what means to be a lady, what means to love people that are weaker than us. So, in fact, the reason men are called gentlemen is because with their strength, they use it to serve gently. One of the beautiful pictures we have is a father holding a baby, and I think we saw that. He could have quashed it, but, you know, his strength is used to serve. So, as priests in a home, we cover our people. We pray. Yeah. One of our choir members speaks about this life-impacting task or responsibility that his father took. Every night that daddy was home, he would pray for his children as they go to sleep. If he came in late after they had slept, he would still go into their rooms and pray for them. If he's away, he will still communicate with them and pray over them. It's something that they look forward to and say, our Father, he knows God. He serves God. In fact, when he is in church, he's focused on God. Everything about him, you see, God is at work in this man's life. He shares his testimony on how God changed him and transformed him. He shares why he does the things that he does. He's established memorials in his family because he loves God. And he knows if the children discover God, they'll be mighty in the land. For those who know their God will be mighty and they do exploits for God.
That's right. So that's a very huge function, the priestly role, being an example of what godliness is to our children and praying for them. So today we just wanted to take a moment and just share about that. As we celebrate Father's Day, remember, being a father is a gift from God. Secondly, is a call to responsibility, to protect, to provide, and to be a priest in your family. So we want to challenge you today. You can make a choice to be a good father. You are a decision away from being a great father. You can, with God's help, you can be a great father. If you're a young man, not yet married, and you are looking forward to marriage and starting a family, I want to encourage you, don't wait until you have children to learn about fatherhood. Start to prepare now. You can. You can make a decision today to carry yourself like the father you'd like to be. We want to break the cycle of fatherlessness in our nation. And we can. God wants to do that. God is looking for a man. That's how he got Abraham. Because Abraham wasn't a perfect father. And in the environment he was in, he wasn't doing much. In fact, he was worshiping other gods. But God called Abraham and said, I have a plan for you, Abraham. Come out of where you are. I'm going to begin something beautiful with you. And out of you, a great nation will come. Our past may not have been great. The family we were born into may have not been great. But we have an opportunity to make a decision today as young men, as men in this place, that starting with me, my generation will be absolutely a God-fearing one. We can make that decision today. So make a choice today. We have the privilege as Watoro Church of being a father to about 4,000 parentless children. It's such an opportunity. And we've decided we'll be the hands and the feet of Jesus to be a father to the fatherless. And we are doing that with everything we've got, providing for those children these three things we talked about. It's such an opportunity. But as we do it for our total children, we want you to do it for your family. If God brings any children into your circles, maybe they've lost their parents and their relatives and they come into your way. Maybe you're a teacher or you're a professor in your classroom. There's kids there that are looking for a father figure. Maybe you're a team leader at your workplace, a supervisor. And these young people come and get jobs and you totally see they lack a father. I want to challenge you men from Watoro Church. Let's become fathers where fathers are lacking. We can make a choice today and change what has been. Change it for the better. We can do that. So choose today.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.